Chapter 18.
Shit, I whispered, as I stared down at the lifeless body of the chief constable. There were scattered pieces of mirror from the burner Mr. K had given him all over the office floor and underneath his body. Most of the shimmering pieces reflected the scene in a macabre mockery of what I had done. Some of the pieces caught the fake light of the sconces on the walls, and others showed his pale face and his dull, staring eyes. I expected his soul to drift up in glittering sparks to search for an empty stone I didn't have, but none came, and I decided it was probably because he had no magic to offer.
Shit!
I teleported down next to him as I realized what had just happened. I had killed the chief constable, one of the most powerful men in the city, and I had made him hang up on the head of a criminal family. I expected there to be some corruption in the city watch. I had bribed plenty of the wall guards, but for it to go all the way to the top was a bit more than I had anticipated. At least no one had been in the office when I killed the man, though my magical signature would be everywhere around us. I glanced at the door. We were far enough back in the building that I didn't think anyone would have heard his gasps, though someone may have come by to bring more paperwork and check in on him. I looked at the walls around me as if any lurking spy spells would appear, but there was nothing that I could immediately register, though I had no doubt there was some way for them to see who had committed the crime. I needed to get my girls and get them out of the city before the others realized what had happened, or before Mr. K sent his goons to find out why the chief had hung up on him. They would have my address and my name from that stupid report the chief had filled out while I told him all about the Corlems, but I could take that with us. They'd still hunt me down right away. I hadn't given the man at the front desk my name, but I was the only human with magic, so it wouldn't be hard for them to figure out. If I hadn't made him smash the mirror, I might have been able to convince someone that he was in league with the Corlems. But if the chief constable was corrupted, then I couldn't trust anyone else in this station. I couldn't rely on anyone in the city. I would have to go to the king directly, and hopefully get an audience with him. I took a deep, steadying breath, and then I stood up straight as I gathered myself together. I had a new plan, one that would keep my girls safe and would expose the Corlems and the Iron Dwarves. I just hoped that I could pull it off before I was arrested, or before the treasonous family could warn the dwarves that they needed to put a rush on their declaration of war with the River Kingdoms. I couldn't trust that someone wouldn't stop by the office, or that he hadn't called someone else before I got there. Though I doubted he had the time, I had come back into his office almost right after we'd left, but it was still a risk that someone might check in on the chief. I started to pilfer through the chief's pockets, and I sighed in relief when I found the amulet. I shoved it next to my soul gems and then stood to look around for some evidence of his corruption to take with me. But all I could see immediately was the mirror, so I started in on the piles of paperwork on his desk. Janel burst into the room just as I started to search through a stack of forms. Her eyes were wide with panic when she crossed the room, and she gasped when she saw the chief's body sprawled across the floor.
"I heard glass. What happened?"
she asked as she tore her attention away from the chief constable to look at me.
"You killed him?"
"He was corrupt," I said. "He called Mr. K to warn him."
"Shift change,"
Taslin said from the hallway.
"The guy from the recording is gone now."
"Good," I responded as I moved to the next stack of forms. "You and Nora need to get in here."
"Is everything okay?"
she questioned. The fox girl came through the door before I could answer, immediately spotted the chief, and then with a quick look into the hallway, she ushered Nora in and shut the door. "We need to get out of here," I said, as soon as all the girls were in. "But first, we need to find something to tie the chief to the Corlems."
"He was corrupt?"
Taz asked, while she crossed the room to join Janel and I. "Yes," I nodded. "He was trying to call the Corlems when I came in."
"What are we going to do?"
Janel gasped.
"He's the chief constable. There's no way we can just hide this."
Janel started to pace around the room, her robes floating around her as she tried to think of a plan. "We just have to get the evidence and get out before they notice," I told her. "I've got the paperwork with my name and the amulet. We just need something to prove he was dirty."
"How long do you think we have?"
Nora asked. Her face was carefully blank, and I couldn't tell if she was terrified or calm. "Not long," I said. I made him smash the mirror before he could tell Mr. K who it was, but I doubt Mr. K is just going to sit around and wait to find out why the chief hung up.
No, he won't.
The djinn sighed.
Did you get his soul?
She pointed to the chief's body, and I took a step away from the lifeless man. No, I responded. He wasn't a mage, anyways. I wouldn't have gotten any magic from him.
At least he's gone,
Taz said.
I'm glad that you got the better of him. Are you hurt?
No. I gave her a reassuring smile. He didn't see it coming because I was in the rafters. He did try to fight back, but he didn't know where to strike, and I had him trapped with the yellow power.
Good,
the vixen smirked.
And you're sure he didn't tell Mr. K who had tried to turn him in?
Yes, I responded. I don't think Mr. K can track it, but it wouldn't be that hard for him to figure out where the chief was.
We're going to have to take the evidence to the king,
Janel piped up.
The amulet and whatever we can find to tie the chief to the core limbs. We'll just have to hope that he'll do something.
That's what I was thinking, I said. We need to search this office and then get out of here first, though. And then the city. We can't trust anyone in the city watch. The Korlem's influence reaches all the way to the top of the city.
Right,
my wife said.
We need to get Ilara and all of our things and get out of the city as fast as we can.
I can transport us to the carriage using Mama Skelk, I said. She should still be out front.
What if she's moved?
The elven-born woman asked. I'll call her on the magic mirror, I said as I nodded my head. There's probably a dozen spy spells that saw us come into the station. Even if they don't have our names, it won't be long before Mr. K identifies us.
Let's start this search, then,
Taz said.
If we don't prove that he was in league with the Korlems, the king won't believe us, even with the amulet. They'll think you just killed him for no reason, and we'll get no audience with him to show him the proof about the Iron Dwarves.
Right, I said. So far I haven't found anything on his desk, though. I ran my hand over my short-cropped hair and sighed as I glanced at the half of the desk I had pilfered through. I shouldn't have had him destroy the mirror.
Mr. K would have used that to track us,
Taslin said.
So what exactly are we looking for?
My elven-born wife asked as she glanced around the room. He has to have some kind of book, I said while I followed. If he was working for the Korlems, then he's got to have a list of people that he let go, just in case he needs leverage or a favor later. I forced open one of the desk drawers, and then I glanced to the door to make sure it was closed while I ignored the dead body next to me. Even with the help of my ladies, I felt like the search was too slow, and it didn't seem like we found anything but more reports that were useless to us. I huffed and put my hands on my hips as I looked at the drawer I had just pried open. It was full of random supplies, but nothing that screamed criminal evidence. He might have a hidden safe, I said, as I eyed the suspiciously bare walls. If he had something that could hide his aura, then I'm sure he could mask a safe. We have to hurry. The other cops might come in and check on him any second.
I'll find it,
Taslin said. Her amber eyes darted to the chief and then back to the walls. I can just use Tano's sight, I replied. But the beautiful redhead had already pulled down her hood. Her eyes were dilated again, and she scanned every surface of the room until she found what she was looking for. She walked over to the wall on the right as her eyes returned to normal. Then she lifted her fingers and began to cast a spell. The words were muttered, but I could see the effect of them as symbols began to appear on the gray wall. A dark purple light shone from the markings. They became so bright I had to squint, and then with a flash they disappeared to reveal the open door to a safe. The violet glow faded with the symbols, though spots of them still flitted across my vision for a few more seconds. It's open, I muttered as I walked over.
The spell revealed it and opened it at the same time,
Taslin told me with a smirk. You're absolutely brilliant, I said, then gave her a quick kiss on the cheek.
What's inside?
Janel asked as she came to join us. Gold, documents, another burner mirror, I muttered as I pulled everything out. I brought it over to his desk, then plopped it down. The empty cup that had held his bean brew tipped over, and Nora reached out to steady a stack of papers that threatened to careen toward the floor, while she carefully avoided looking at the chief. I pulled the chair away from the body, and then I sat down as I started to sort through everything that had been in his safe. I set the gold aside. I had enough money with the stash of gems at my lab and Janel's dowry, and the burner mirror I stuffed into a drawer just in case Mr. K could somehow listen in. I took a deep breath as I flipped open the leather-bound journal. There were names, dates, and offenses filling the pages. I took note of a few from the major elvenborn and beastborn families, even some from the school, and a couple that had notes in the margins about debts that had been paid. "This is it," I said. "With this book and the amulet, we can prove that the Korlems are working with the Iron Dwarves, and that the Chief Constable had been helping them."
"Good."
Taz nodded, then swayed on her feet. "Are you okay?" I asked, as I jumped up to wrap my arms around her waist and steady her.
"I used a lot of power,"
she mumbled.
"I just need to rest a little."
"You did great. We got what we need," I told her, before I looked to the others. "Let's get out of here before it's too late." I kept one hand around Taz as I reached over to grab the book. Though she seemed steady enough to stand on her own, I didn't want to risk a fall if she got dizzy again. I was grateful for all the mismatched pockets that I had sewn into my coat, especially when I found one big enough to hold a leather-bound book. I checked to make sure my soul gems and the amulet were still safe, and then I turned my attention to Janel and Nura. "Let's go," I said. "I need to call Ilara and make sure she hasn't moved."
"I can call her,"
Janel said.
"You need to have at least one hand free, just in case Taslin needs you."
"Good idea," I said, though Taslin rolled her eyes and tried to stand on her own again. My wife pulled out the silver mirror that her parents had bought for her, then flipped it open. She requested it call Ilara, and soon the sound of a ringing mirror filled the silence that filled the room.
"Hey!"
Ilara squeaked as she answered.
"What's going on in there?" "What do you mean?"
Janel asked.
"There's something going on out front,"
the mouse girl said.
"There's a bunch of commotion in front of the station. A bunch of men are trying to get inside. They're screaming about the chief or something. I had to move the carriage because they started to get too close."
"Where are you now?" I asked.
"I'm just driving around in circles,"
she responded.
"What happened?"
"The chief constable is dead," I told her. "He was working with the Korlems and was going to tell them we were trying to expose him. He hung up on the Korlems. They might have called their people to come find out what happened."
"Shit, shit, shit,"
Ilara cursed.
"Okay, I'll pull around the block again and stop out front. Can you be out here in a few minutes?"
"Yes, but I can't teleport us into the carriage until it's stopped."
"I'll be quick,"
the mouse girl squeaked.
"We need to get out of here before they come check the office,"
Taz said as she pulled away from me. Then she lifted her hood back up over her head.
"Nura, can I have a glass of orange juice?" "Anything for my masters,"
the djinn responded with a quizzical expression.
"Thank you,"
my sexy fox girlfriend said as she accepted the cup that appeared in her hand. She drained it in a few gulps, then set the empty glass on the chief's desk and shook her head.
"Okay, that should help me regain a little bit of my strength."
"Even if they're looking for us," I said as I looked toward the only exit to the office. "Maybe I can transport us to the alley, and then when Ilara pulls up, I can transport us into the carriage."
"Right."
Janel clapped her hands together.
"They shouldn't see us if we're in the alley. I'll be waiting out front,"
Ilara said, then disconnected the mirror call. A knock on the door pulled my attention away from my girls. The sound seemed to echo off the barren walls, and I thought I would jump out of my skin as I turned to stare at the wooden slab that separated us and whoever was on the other side.
"Chief?"
the gruff voice of our earlier escort asked.
"There are some visitors who say you are..."
"He went to find someone to give our case to," I called, as I motioned for the girls to come closer to me.
"Oh,"
the man said.
"Oh, didn't realize you lot were still here."
I could almost picture the older elven-born officer as he narrowed his eyes. I doubted he was alone. If Ilara was right and the Korlems had sent their people, then they probably already knew that the chief was in danger. And I was sure the group of mage students he had talked to last would be their first suspects. I would need to teleport us using Mama Skelk sooner than I planned. I just hoped that Ilara was almost out front. "Yes," I called out. "The chief said he'd be back and that we should wait for him."
"Why don't you come open his door for me so we can talk face to face?"
the man asked, and Ferex growled in response.
"What should we do?"
Janel whispered.
"We need to get out of here now," I said, as the officer knocked again. "I'm going to get us to the alley. Mama Skelk should have enough power for all of us since it's not far. We can see if Ilara is there, and then I can transport us into the carriage."
"There's probably guards waiting out front, too,"
Taslin warned.
"They may see us pop into the alley."
"Well," I said with a deep breath as I pulled on Mama Skelk's powers. "I guess we'll just have to be ready to fight until I can get us to the carriage. I'll pull on Valeris's fire as soon as we get into the alleyway, and Taslin, you can share it through our bond. Are you ready?"
"Hey!"
voices shouted.
"Open this door!"
Ready,
Nora said as she stepped closer to Taslin and Janel.
Ready,
Taslin said.
Ready.
Janel nodded her head, then began to hum a song that immediately strengthened every muscle in my body. The door burst inwards just as the room faded away from us. Splinters shot out at us, and I heard the screams of the watchmen as they saw us disappear into thin air. I felt the stone of the alley underneath my feet before we materialized, and in seconds I had released Mama Skelk's powers to summon my flames. I took in the scene around us and saw at least 20 watchmen, all armed with various gem-imbued weapons, and all of them between us and the road. Shit. Taslin and I didn't wait for them to act first. I could feel her pull on my magic through our bond, and I let her wave as much as she wanted as I blasted my own flames outward. We ran forward while we attacked so we wouldn't get stuck in the alley. Janel's song picked up momentum, and the heat of Valeris's fire seemed to intensify as it washed over the watchmen and pushed them back.
She's here!
Nora shouted over the crackling flames and screams of the unsuspecting watchmen.
Brace yourself! I warned them.
I released the flames in order to reach for Mama Skelk's powers. The heat died down, and just as the officers started to surge forward, I transported us into the waiting carriage. I looked at Taslin first to see her slump against the cushioned seat of the carriage. Sweat beaded on her eyebrows, and her breaths came out in shallow gasps.
Let's go,
Janel ordered the carriage.
I will make it go a little faster,
Nora said as she pressed her palm against the wooden wall.
What the fuck happened in there?
Ilara squeaked as she scooted over to check Taz.
We got caught, I said. We need to get out of the city, now!
Our carriage is going as fast as it can,
Nora guaranteed. Great, I said. You were amazing.
Thank you,
she grinned, though her smile was a little tight and she looked exhausted.
We wouldn't be able to make it without you,
Janel told her as she clasped the djinn's hand.
I'm so glad you're my sister.
I'm glad I'm your sister, too,
Nora replied. I pulled the window of the carriage down, then stuck my head out to make sure that no one had started to follow us yet. I couldn't see any other carriages, except for the ones desperate to get out of our chaotic path, and for a moment, I thought we were in the clear. But then the city gates came into view, and I could see that they had begun to lower the massive doors, while the watchmen on duty began to stand in the road to stop us. I had to think fast. Mr. Limey could stop the doors before they closed, but I couldn't do anything about the guards with the stones, at least nothing that wouldn't also block our escape. I decided on Buckthorn. The split-second decision made, I commanded the vines to erupt from the ground and pry the gates open. Once the exit was secure, I focused on the guards that blocked our path. Then I used them to snag them around the waist and fling them back before I ducked my head back inside the safety of the carriage. As we passed through the wall, I heard a few thunks against the outside of the carriage, and I had to resist the urge to check if we were on fire. When we didn't immediately burst into flames, I assumed it was just regular arrows, and that we had cleared the city. I sighed in relief as we escaped. Our path to the king was clear for the moment, and we had all the evidence we needed to prove that the Korlems had committed treason and that the Iron Dwarves planned a war. I just hoped the king would care about or believe the proof we had. Otherwise, it was up to me and my four powerful, gorgeous, badass women to save the River Kingdoms. End of Book 5.